Thanks for joining us. This is Rochester Speaks. I'm Kevin Gillen, and for almost 60 years, L. Siegel Community of Agencies has provided services and support to several organizations locally with a focus on serving children and adults with special needs of all abilities. And by donating just $1 during Al Siegel's 31st annual Just One campaign, you can help people with disabilities bring their abilities to life. And we are joined today by Al Siegel Community of Agencies President Tom O'Connor. Hey, Tom.
Hey, Kevin. How are you? So good to hear your voice again.
Well, thank you. Could it be just one campaign time already?
You know, time flies when we're having fun, even in a pandemic, right?
Yeah, I guess so. And Tom, how long have you been with L. Siegel now? Remind us.
I've been with L. Siegel since 2008. So what, we're going on 12, 13 years, right?
And how long president there?
Let's see. It'll be 5 years in June.
Oh, okay. And I thought I would let you give a little recap of the history of the agencies and the story behind Mr. L. Siegel. Alphonse J. Siegel, right?
Absolutely correct. You always do your homework. You know this so well.
I try.
Yep. Mr. L. Siegel was a Gannett newsman. He had a daily broadcast, much like you. He went out on at noon time with a radio broadcast, and he would read the Times Union newspaper, kind of the lead story, the breaking news, right? He was on at noon, and that was an afternoon newspaper at the time. And he would start right off the bat by saying, "Howdy, neighbors." And then he would deliver the weather, because everybody in Rochester always wants to know the weather. And he knew that if he was safe to deliver that at noon, it would change in 20 minutes. And then he would follow that with whatever the top stories were that the Times Union staff were working on for the night for delivery. And a lot of times it would be, you know, that maybe there was a fire in a home or somebody was displaced. And so Al would really be this call to the community for support as well. And he really became a real beacon for people who were in need, and the community always responded to the things that Al had requested for support and help. So Al Siegel Center was opened in 1968. The organization was actually started in 1962, the planning for it. But the facility opened in 1968. We opened as Monroe County Center for Rehabilitative Agencies, Inc., not really a catchy name. And when the building was opened, Al Siegel had passed away in 1966, and there was really kind of a widespread amount of support for the notion of naming a facility that would help, you know, a number of families in an innovative way to be named after this man who had helped so many in the community. And so a lot of people may think, oh, he left a giant gift, a naming rights gift or something like that. That really wasn't it at all. It was named really in the good spirit of the deeds that he did in his role.
Yeah. So he was a newspaper guy first who happened to read the newspaper stuff on the radio?
Yep, that's exactly right. He broadcast at noon. He was absolutely enormous at the time. He had the largest listening audience east of the Mississippi River at that time. This was prior to television. He had a great broadcast and a huge following, and he would read what would basically be that evening's newspaper, but he would read the the advance of it at noontime.
So he must have realized the power of his broadcast to get people involved with helping the community, but did he ever take that next step? I mean, did he ever personally collect anything or...
Yeah, as a matter of fact, he would learn about different therapies and ways that people were using devices. For instance, he heard about a young boy who had cerebral palsy who was using a tricycle for a service, and Al just thought that was really interesting that this boy could benefit from using this tricycle in an innovative way. And so he put out a request to get more tricycles for the Cerebral Palsy Association of Rochester at that time. And when he put the request out, he got multiple tricycles delivered. And that was just one example. There's a story that he was literally walking across the Court Street Bridge one afternoon. It was kind of a chilly afternoon. He saw a gentleman who looked like he was extremely cold, and Al literally took the coat off his back and gave it to him. And the gentleman that he was walking with said, "You know, Al, you just gave your jacket away." And he said, "I think that man needed it more than I do."
Hmm.
He was that kind of guy.
So it originally started in one building, and how many buildings are you in these days with the agencies?
We started in our first building at 1000 Elmwood Avenue. We are now on six campuses with 20 buildings and over 650,000 square feet of real estate.
Wow. And what would Mr. Siegel think of the Al Siegel Community of Agencies?
You know, I think he would be really proud. I think he'd be really proud of the growth in services and the way that Al Siegel has been positioned to respond to what the agencies have needed. You know, we're a below market, high quality, cost effective real estate company that's a nonprofit. We also have a foundation that raises funds to support the work that they do. And I think he would be really, really proud to not only have his name on it, but to see the work that's being accomplished and has been accomplished for close to 60 years now.
And tell us about the six member agencies, part of the L. Siegel community of agencies.
Yeah, so breaking news, get this, Kevin. We actually have seven member agencies.
Ooh.
Now. I'll tell you about them. We have seven member agencies. They are CP Rochester, EPI, Medical Motor Service, the National MS Society, Rochester Hearing and Speech Center, Rochester Rehabilitation, and our newest member agency who joined us this year, 2021, Starbridge.
Oh, okay. Well, I have made a note for future homework assignments. Now I know that there are seven.
Absolutely. That's great.
And you serve over, what is the number, 55,000 children and adults?
Yeah, there's over 55,000 children and adults with special needs that are served by these agencies in a variety of different ways, from health and wellness, transportation, home services, employment, recreation, and education services.
And since we last chatted, we talked a little bit about the COVID impact just before last year's walkabout. So
Right. As
far as the pandemic goes, have you gotten used to what needs to be done? Have things calmed down a little bit?
You know, I think people have settled into a little bit more understanding of, the things that we have to do in terms of the cyclical cleaning, the physical distancing, wearing the PPE, all the things that we hear about in the news almost on a daily basis. And I think people are adapting to some of the telehealth services and different ways that, services are being provided. Are people happy with it? No. I think we all want to return to what we knew as normal, prior to the pandemic. We all know that's going to be different. It's going to feel different and look different. But I think all of us are, rooting for the idea that vaccines will start to get us to a place where we can gather again, be, next to each other, one another, and be social. So many families have been impacted by this pandemic and the isolation of it and just the, really the dismissal of so many patterns and routines that folks were used to that have just kind of evaporated as a result of the pandemic.
Yeah. Any new protocols that the agencies need to follow?
Yeah. Obviously, again, having, personal protective equipment on for those who are direct care providers, we've seen changes in transportation. For instance, Medical Motor Service has bus services that they provide where there would be, multiple passengers on the bus. They're now doing more sedan services, and then they're being mindful of how to, be careful about transporting multiple passengers so that nobody's exposed to the potential of COVID-19. There are a number of protocols that have changed in terms of just the way we stay connected. More and more we're seeing, organizations that are using technology to deliver services or even engage with volunteers, through many of the methods that everybody's using, Zoom and video conferencing and those types of technologies as well. But I also think going forward, we'll probably see some changes in that, for those who are comfortable and can come back into spaces and have face-to-face services and interaction, they'll do that. But you'll also, I think, continue to see some folks who are more comfortable using technology. So I think going forward, it'll probably be a hybrid.
Yeah. And as I mentioned, we last spoke before last year's walkabout. I stopped out at Eastview. Were you happy the way things ended up turning out?
Absolutely. We had a drive-through event, right? A car about, if you will, versus a walkabout. We had such great volunteers and we had great displays and a good amount of energy. And what we heard from almost every vehicle that drove through was that they were really grateful that we were doing something that families could get out of the house and participate in a safe way and in a meaningful way. We raised money for the agencies. We had a good time. And I think we all want to be able to see, how will events come together in 2021? What will they need to look like? And, we've been fortunate to be creative and continue to have community support for it.
31st annual Just One campaign, because it's February.
You got it.
And maybe I'm wrong in assuming this, but since it was a mailing piece, did COVID impact the way you're doing this year?
So it does to some extent. We had some pre-planning that we needed to do with our friends at the post office. And, you know, I'm sure you're aware they've had quite a bit of work to do over the last number of months. But we've worked with their team. We feel confident from a staging standpoint. And we've learned as the pandemic has kind of continued to evolve that there's not as much concern as there was initially about, you know, surface and, you know, contamination on mail products and things like that. So we feel comfortable with the technologies that the post office uses to deliver mail safely. I'm not concerned about it from that standpoint. And we also have other options for folks, you know, if they don't want to use the mail or the envelope, they can certainly text or go online to lsiegel.org.
Can they pick the envelopes up anywhere this year, or are you kind of leading against that?
You know, we haven't done as many. We've got some distribution sites planned, and Row Photo has always been a terrific supporter, so I would assume we'll probably have some at the Row Photo locations because those folks are open, and Tompkins Bank of Castile as well. So there will be places in the community to be able to pick up the envelope for those who still want to see the blue magic in their hand, but we'll also make it available, you know, to every home because the post office will deliver it to everybody in 145, 144, and 146.
Okay, and are you still getting just one envelopes from last year, from 2020?
We are. We do, and we love that. We love the fact that we get a lot that come in immediately after they arrive, and then we get others that are spread throughout the year. So it makes February continue all the way through the year.
And the Just One campaign means just $1 can help out. Let folks know how that can even happen.
Sure. So, you know, we really love the notion that just $1 can stay right here in our community. These dollars, these funds raised go directly to support the programs and services that the member agencies provide. It doesn't leave the greater Rochester area. And, you know, everyone can participate. I think everyone understands that, you know, just $1 can, in fact, make a difference. It's made a difference now for over 31 years. And we're grateful that it's a program that the community responds to so favorably.
How many people actually annually open up these envelopes?
Sure. So we send over 460,000 envelopes.
Wow.
And it kind of shatters the notion of direct mail. We do this campaign in February when most direct mail experts would say don't ever do it at that period of time. And then, you know, having some experience with this, you know, finding a 0.5% return would be really outstanding in the direct mail world. This can deliver anywhere from 5 to 13% returns for us.
Wow.
Yes.
And, of course, somebody opens one of these envelopes and you get a $500 check. Bells will be ringing, right?
Yeah, we consider those major gifts, and those are really big causes for celebration. So, yeah, and we're fortunate. We've actually had some of those come through to us as well. So it's really nice to be able to say thank you for every gift, because every gift matters. And the reality is that it's what people are comfortable with and to them what is meaningful, and we recognize that.
Right, but you guys are probably also alerted when, say, an obvious note and money comes from a kid, or just a very deep emotional kind of letter comes from somebody who may have been able to use the services over the years.
Kevin, you are spot on. We have a number of volunteers who have helped us throughout the years, and I think across the board, the volunteers will say that the biggest jolt that any of them get is when there's a note that's in there, and especially when it's somewhere, you know, a family saying, hey, you know, we have a loved one who received services 45 years ago, or where you have a family that says, you know, we're trying to teach our kids about giving back and what philanthropy means, and this is $2 from our daughter's allowance. You know, that's incredible, and I do believe, particularly with a program that's in its 31st year, that we're now seeing generational support for this program, which is really amazing.
Yeah, that's very cool. And you mentioned all the money stays local, but does the money go to anything in particular?
The beauty of this is that these dollars come in unrestricted, so it doesn't have to go to anything particular. The L. Siegel Foundation can then distribute the funds to really any desired need that the member agencies come to for us.
And if folks don't get one in the mail, again, what's their best way that they can help out?
Yeah, they can go to alsiegel.org, and they can donate on the website right there for just one, or they can text. They can text just one to 56651 and make a donation that way as well.
Again, alsiegel.org is the website. People can, if they need to call, 442-4102?
Yep.
And again, the Just One campaign in its 31st year pretty much goes right through February, but again, you will get them late into the year, so people don't have to worry about any particular deadline.
Correct. Yeah, as long as they have the envelope or want to go on the website, they can donate at any time.
Help out if you can during the Just One campaign, and we thank once again El Segal Community of Agencies President Tom O'Connor. We'll talk to you before the walkabout.
Awesome. Kevin, great to hear your voice. Love spending time with you.